entire whole when the opportunity is given. I love to tell people about what the Lord has done in my life. Some people will take offense. There's many in this country are taking offense to the gospel now, but even God is, if things got darker and a light shines brighter, could some of those people that take offense end up coming to the Lord? You betcha. You betcha. So that is our prayer and our hope that as, you know, one of these days, Jesus is coming back, though. You know that, right? I was talking to John Harris before the service. We don't know the hour. Jesus says, I don't know the hour. Only my Father knows the hour. So we don't know when, but we know that he said, this gospel shall be preached in all the earth, and then what? The end will come. Amen. So one of these days, we shall see him face to face. And though I see things dimly in a mirror right now, I still am being guided by the Holy Spirit, amen, and the Word of God, because the Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so as we pray, as we worship tonight, a time to worship the King of Kings, amen, the Lord of Lords, as we pray for one another, you know, those prayers have an effect. You can tell they have an effect. And even when you're married, right, sometimes life gets busy. Things are going on, and I forget to lay hands on my wife and just to bless her and say, Lord, thank you for stirring her heart. Thank you for the gifts and calling on her life and the things that you placed in her, and I thank you for calling them forth. And so as we worship tonight, perfect time for us to start out this September 7th having worshiped the Lord, having prayed for one another. And I even saw the waves after they prayed for one another, gave each other a kiss. Amen. And then she had a birthday song, so we started this evening wonderfully. John chapter 5. I'm going to read from the Passion Translation for the first 9 verses, and then we're going to read those and come back and go over a few points there. Amen. So John chapter 5, Session 28, it says, from Galilee, Jesus returned to Jerusalem to observe one of the Jewish feasts. So it says one of, I just want to stop right there, it says one of the Jewish feasts. So the 3 Jewish feasts that the Israelites would have to go to Jerusalem for would be the Passover, just so you know, since it's Wednesday night, we can stop and with these little details. You're okay with that, right? These wonderful little details. So from Galilee, Jesus returned to Jerusalem to observe one of the Jewish feasts. That's how John puts it, said one of them. And it could have been the Passover, Pentecost, or the Feast of Booths. So those are the 3 that you're required to go up to Jerusalem every year to celebrate. Let's continue in verse 2. And said, inside the city, near the sheep gate, there is a pool called in Aramaic, the House of Loving Kindness, surrounded by 5 covered porches. Hundreds of sick people were lying under the covered porches, the paralyzed, the blind, and the crippled, all of them waiting for their healing. For an angel of God periodically descended into the pool to stir the waters, and the first one who stepped into the pool after the waters swirled would instantly be healed. Verse 5, among the many sick people lying there was a man who had been disabled for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that the man had been crippled for a long time. Jesus said to him, do you truly long to be well? And I still think he says that to people. And I know we live in, let me just stop right there. We may live in a time where we don't see a lot of miracles right now, maybe in our church here. But boy, I think even just like praying like for one another like we did tonight and asking, saying, Lord, and still saying in our heart, saying, Lord, I want to be healed. Don't, if you're looking for a healing in your body or a healing somewhere, you know, somewhere in your emotions still, don't stop saying, Lord, I want to be healed. I want to be healed. Amen. Don't give up and give in. It's easy to get discouraged. But hey, we're patient, amen? We still with patience saying, Lord, thank you, what? That the healing belongs to me. Thank you, Lord, that the things that I'm struggling with today, whether it be mentally, emotionally, thank you, Lord, that the victory is mine. I'm not hoping for victory. I'm not even just saying asking for victory, but I'm thanking God already that the victory belongs to me. Amen? Because if the promises of God are yes and amen, then I need to start saying, yes, God, I still believe in the healing. Yes, God, I still believe believe in what you're going to do in families' lives or whatever the situation is, whether it be in your finances, whether it be in your family, whether it be in your health, whether it be in your emotions or mental or struggle, even in addiction, you still have to declare that the promises of God are yes and amen. I know the microwave heats that Pop-Tart. I don't know if you put a Pop-Tart in a microwave. I'm trying to think of something else. Toaster. Sorry. My mind just said, I started thinking, I've never put a Pop-Tart in a microwave. But anyway, there's things I can't think of right now that go in a microwave. But Lord, that we would just continue to trust and believe him. You know, it says to encourage each other daily. You know, there's a reason that we're to encourage one another, because it is easy to become discouraged. One of the biggest things you can do if you have a mate or your close friends in Christ is to encourage one another. Amen. There is such an anointing and power in encouraging one another. Because of this world, it is so easy in the flesh to discourage one another. You agree? That we need to make sure that we are ones that are encouragers to our mates, to our friends, to our children, to our neighbors, and so forth. Being encouragers. Why does God want us to be encouragers? Because all promises of God are yes and amen. I don't know why sometimes there's a delay. I don't know why things happen the way they do, but I know one thing. He still is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And I think I'm learning that diligently seeking him is to continue to worship him, praise him, honor him, bless him. I find much of my prayer life more now is just thanking him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I bless you, Father God. Thank you for the good answers. Thank you for those things that you're lining up. Thank you, Father, for the things that you're doing for the benefit of me and my family. Amen. Because we walk in new covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't walk in the curses, but I sure walk in his blessings. And the world needs to see people demonstrated walking in his blessing. Walking in his joy, his strength, his provision, his peace. Amen? I know those things. So as we encourage each other, not giving up, I am telling you, God rewards our faith. Amen? He is a rewarder. So inside the city near the sheep gate, verse 7, the sick man answered, "Sir, there's no way I can get healed. For I have no one to lower me into the water when the angel comes. And as soon as I tried to crawl to the edge of the pool, someone else jumps in ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, pick up your sleeping mat, and you will walk." Immediately he stood up, he was healed. So he rolled up his mat and walked again. Now Jesus worked the miracle on the Sabbath. So we'll come back. One of the things that Jesus kept getting persecuted about probably the most was his healing people on the Sabbath. But we're not going to go there tonight. Number one, I want to say Jesus enters through the sheep gate. He comes in through the sheep gate. He's near the sheep gate looking for the lost sheep of this world who will hear his voice. So if I show that slide, do you have that slide? Did I send you something besides that outline, Bill? Is it there? If you don't have it, no biggie. And we can't see it anyway. No big. I sent you something that we couldn't use, Bill. So there was all these different gates around Jerusalem. And if you could read it, if you could read this, the top one said the sheep gate. And the one to the right would said the inspection gate. So all these different gates, I'm telling you, types and shadows of Jesus Christ. See, many things I've come to realize as I've read the Old Testament is these are types and shadows of Jesus Christ. The problem with the Jews during this time is they said, no, the types and shadows is where the Spirit is. It's where God is. But Jesus, as Jesus came and showed up, he started saying, no, these types and shadows represented me. So Jesus said to them again, he said, "What truly I say to you," this is in John 10:7-9. Jesus enters through the sheep gate, looking for the lost sheep of this world who will hear his voice. Jesus said in John 10:7-9, says, so Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All those who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. You know, Jesus came through a sheep gate too. Did you know that? He came looking for the lost. He says he came looking for lost sheep in Matthew 18 and Luke 15. And so Jesus coming through this, Jesus who came as a lamb. You know, he says that in Isaiah 53, he was like a lamb led to the slaughter. Well, we know he was a God in flesh. So we know all these types and shadows, Jesus representing a sheep who came, who was perfect, without blemish, who freely gave his life. You know, Jesus came through the same door like any other sheep. Listen to me real quick. A human being, he came in a human body. He was 100% God, but yet he was 100% man. Amen. John 1:29, remember, said the next day, this is John the Baptist, the next day Jesus coming to him, to John, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. All these types and shadows that we see in the New Testament, I love looking at those because they point to Jesus Christ. Amen. Even when Jesus said to all the Pharisees who were legalistic and following all the laws and regulations, trying to the very best of their ability, even to Jesus said to them, you search the scriptures looking for the Son of God and do not realize they speak of me. Types and shadows. See, in today's world, in the new covenant, I want to make sure that I'm not walking in a faith that's still in types and shadows. See, I've received the Holy Spirit. If you know him, you've received the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're not needing any more of him. We may need more of a revelation of his love and his goodness, but his Holy Spirit already dwells in me. I've come to realize this. I used to say, Lord, I need more. I want more. I want more. And then finally the Lord says, hey, I've given you everything you need already. Now we've got to renew our mind. Amen. But it says you've been born again. You have a spirit. You have an incorruptible seed in you. The word of God is the way Peter put it. So I have everything I need in Christ Jesus already. I don't want to be a person that's still looking for types and shadows for something that I already have. Amen. Amen. Types and shadows. Hey. Go ahead. Yeah. Yes. That's the renewing of the mind, right? That's and growing in confidence and in faith. Because it's still easy to trust my wisdom. It's still easy at times to be led by my emotions. My experiences tell me, well, why keep praying? You prayed already, nothing changed. Or things that happen that don't go our way, and the results of that were like, well, what happened there, Lord? And we can end up like being discouraged or given up. As an example, I think of someone like Abraham Lincoln who ran for office over and over and over and over and over and over and over again and didn't give up. He had a strong faith in God, and finally he makes a difference as the 16th president of our country, but he could have gave up. Amen. He could have gave up or gave in. And so as I realized that, the Lord says, man, so the word of God, the power of the word of God is what has changed me. Now, hey, I still love the Holy Spirit. I still pray in tongues. I still believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit powerfully. But if I don't feel his presence or feel some kind of experience, I no longer say, what's wrong? I don't have an introspective of saying, what am I missing? No, the just shall live by faith. He never leaves me. He's always with me. He's always guiding me. So I don't have this conversation of like, why don't I feel him today? Or why are my emotions feeling such and such? I've learned to train my emotions by saying the just shall live by faith. And that one statement right there put me on the road where it's like, I am not going to be led by my emotions. God is with me, always with me. He'll never leave me or forsake me. So I can walk in this life, not just seeking some experience, but knowing that God can give me an experience anytime he wants. But it's the word of God that changes me. It is the word of God revealed. Even Paul, he says, I had this revelation of Jesus Christ. You can imagine what it was as the Old Testament, all the types and shadows. God started revealing to Paul, saying, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the new covenant. That's Jesus making all peoples from every tribe, every race, one people under Christ, where I stand in the same level as any Jew that walks this earth. It's just one body, amen? God bless, no, nothing wrong. We know God's bringing the new Jerusalem. We know that God's returning. But it's for you and I, we stand in the same footing as any Jewish person that walks on this earth. Because he's broken down the wall of enmity that was between the Gentiles and the Jews. He says, it's just one way to me. It's just one way to me, and it is by faith. Every human throughout time, even Moses, Elijah, Isaiah, King David, all of them that came through that sheep gate, everybody born in this world, could not pass inspection and hear the words, you are it. You're the one. Even Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, as he stands before the Lord in the temple of the Lord, he says, whoa, I'm an undone person, and I live amongst an undone people. When he was in the presence of God, he realized, I'm not it. I can't pay for my own sin. See, Jesus, as you know this, Jesus passed the inspection as a lamb. Hebrews 5:8 says, although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. Who are we talking about? Jesus. And having been perfected, he became the source of eternal salvation for all those who obey him. So he was born. He never commits even one sin. Right? Amen? Satan throws at him everything he can. Man throws at him everything he can. Religion throws at everything that he can. And Jesus walks out of that unscathed, not having committed one sin, where Jesus could say, or where God could say, that is the Lamb that can pay the price for the sins of the whole world. Amen? Amen and amen. So as Jesus comes through there, you got to understand the sheep gate. Jesus was the one that came through that sheep gate. And God says, that one lamb can pay the price for the sins of the whole world. Amen. Amen and amen. And Hebrews 4:15 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things just as we are, yet without sin. Wow. He can sympathize with our weaknesses. Anybody here still have any weaknesses? One of the most mature things as a Christian that you'll learn that even in your weaknesses, he's still right there. It says he can sympathize. He went through all of those things because I know what you're going through. He didn't sin. He took my place on that cross. He says, but man, I know what you're going through. I'm not one that's was just sitting in heaven and rooting you on. He says, no, I'm the one who came to the earth, was ridiculed, was blasphemed, was hung on a cross where they just mocked me, they spit on me, they rejected me my whole life, but yet I did that so that I could right there say that I know what you're going through, and I'm still here, and I still love you, and I'm still by your side, and I still want to strengthen you. And don't give up. And Satan's on the counter opposite saying, no, he's upset with you. No, he's going to forsake you. No, he's turned his back on you. No, when we believe that, dare to believe by his love and his grace and are putting our faith in him that he has not forsaken us, that is the time where our confidence actually will begin to build and skyrocket. Amen. Amen. Because he's the sheep, the one sheep that passed inspection for all time. So Jesus comes to a pool called Bethesda, house of loving kindness. See, Israel was under the law. We know God is loving and kind, but the Israelites were under a different covenant. One thing we got to realize is they were under a different covenant than you and I. Even John, what did John Baptist say? Repent! They were baptized. Do this and do that. And then when what happens after Jesus rose from the grave, amen, it was believe in me. Believe in me. Put your trust in me. And so we repent. Yeah, we repent of our sins, but it says believe in me. Where John at that time, during that shifting and changing, he was saying, what should I do? Give your coat to somebody in need and do this and do that. And they were all good things, but yet all those things under the current covenant, if you did those things, could not save one single soul. Not one single soul. Under the blessings and the curses. You know, you remember the covenant that Jerusalem was under, or Israel was under at the time, don't you? In Deuteronomy chapter 28, it says, verse 1, now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I am commanding you today, that the Lord your God will put you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings will come to you and reach you if you obey the Lord your God. So they had the blessing and the cursing, right? Well, at this time in Israel, where they were under the power of Rome, they were trying their hardest to be obedient to God, but yet they were still under a curse. They didn't understand his love. They didn't understand their goodness. And actually, all the religious activity led them to being desperately backslidden. Matter of fact, who were the most backslidden people when Jesus came to the earth? It was the religious leaders. Amen? They were. And so Deuteronomy 28 says, if you do these things, then the blessing will be on your life. But if you don't, Deuteronomy 28, 15 says, but it shall come about if you don't do these things, if you do not obey the Lord your God, to be careful to follow all his commandments and his statutes, which I am commanding you today, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Maybe some of you maybe remember my story. This was years ago. I don't know how many. It's probably 12 or 13 years ago. I was reading Deuteronomy chapter 28. And as I read all those blessings and curses, but I started identifying more of the curses. And I said, what's wrong here, Lord? And that when the Lord starts putting and saying, trust me by faith. If you're going to try to please me by your efforts, it actually leads to a curse on your life. Because you cannot please the Lord in your own efforts. You never have. And you never will. When you trust him by faith, that's when the blessings of God are released in your life. And you trust him, his love grows in you, and his law that's placed in your heart, it says he'll give you a new heart. Amen? And he'll give you a new spirit, and that spirit of love within you will actually, as you grow, want to start coming out and say, I want to please him. I want to trust him. I want to treat others like God treats me. I want that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all the fruits of the Spirit. I want those coming out of my life. And it comes from a desire within the inner man, your spirit, versus through your flesh trying to please him with the works of the flesh, because it just doesn't work long-term. So it doesn't become anger management. It becomes that God's love's coming out of you. Amen? You ever done that where you're trying to be a good boy or a good girl in your own strength? Have you guys experienced, am I the only one out there? Does that work? It actually, I when I read that Deuteronomy chapter 28, and I realized that I identified with the curses, then this is the first thing that came to my mind. Why can't I walk in the blessing? And if I can, what do I need to do that? And when it started dawn on me that it was all by faith, the just shall live by faith, the Holy Spirit leading and guiding me. And sometimes God's goodness and his patience with us, sometimes we have to learn as we're walking in this life, the things that we struggle with, that we got to realize sometimes we say, I'm just done with that. It doesn't bring me any joy. It doesn't bring me any peace. It doesn't bring me any strength. Amen. And we finally say, I'm done with that. I'm laying that aside. I'm dead to that work of the flesh. And Lord, thank you for the Holy Spirit that welling out from within me, out of my belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. That I can walk in his peace and his strength. Saints, I believe that we can walk in the blessings of a new covenant like being children of Abraham. Him providing for my needs, him leading and guiding me, amen. His peace strengthening me. Even during dark and difficult times, I believe God can provide for you and I. He did it in the Old Testament. He's done it in the New Testament. And he'll do it in the modern day church, amen. Romans 5:9. So this new covenant is the new covenant by what? His blood. Romans 5:9. Much more than having now been justified by his blood. I'm in Romans 5:9, Bill. Having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. Saved from the wrath of God. By the way, it said those five covered porches. So he comes into this area where there are people around this pool, and the first one that gets in is going to be healed, right? The only one. And this gentleman, he couldn't, he was too sick, he was too lame, he could not get to the pool fast enough. We'll get back to that later, but it says, and so point five is there was five covered porches. Remember I said that there's all these types and shadows. See, in the Old Testament, when Jesus said, I want you to make the tent of meetings, I want it to be exactly this tall, this length. I need the covenant within the Ark of the Covenant. I need it to be made very specific, all types and shadows, but made to very specific size. And so it says that Jesus is walking in this area near the sheep gate, and there's five covered porches. You know, it mentions that in the Bible. It said five. It didn't just say, hey, there were some covered porches, but it was five. And so this house of Bethesda, the house of loving kindness, surrounded by five covered porches. The number five in Hebrew means this: power, strength, alertness. Wake up. It means alertness. Wake up. It means the Torah, the law of God. It means grace. It means ministry. It means service. It means gospel. It means faithfulness. It means going forth. It means fast movement. It means anointed. It means prayers. And it means protection. In this house of Bethesda, you and I are, we are the temple of the living God. Within this corridor or area that he was walking with these five covered things. And I want to say that we are covered by the grace of God. That perfect number. You and I are only covered by the grace of God. You think about it. If we're saved by grace and we're held by faith and or by grace and we're going to see him by grace, God's grace covers over us. Amen. Five covered porches in that area. I don't know about you, but I love God's grace covering over my life. Amen. The favor of God. The favor of God. As we stand up, we're not going to go any further. Can we just stand up a second? Amen. We get out at 7:30. So I just want to say, if you could imagine yourself there when Jesus came in there and he saw all those lame, all the death he saw there, but they were under another covenant. You know, it wasn't, I think about not just those physically, but in life there are those that are paralyzed by fear. They're blind to the truth. They're crippled emotionally. Amen. But this thing with the five porticos that they were sitting under and around, there was just a type and a shadow when Jesus Christ would set the captive free. See, under that law, he picked out one man. We'll read more about him later. But under the new covenant, he's calling all of us, amen, calling all to come into his goodness, to come into his grace, to come into his strength, to come into his peace, to have the Holy Spirit leading each individual person, the Holy Spirit leading each family by the grace and the power and the strength of God. And so, Father God, as we wrap this up, as we pray, Lord, we thank you, Father, for this day and this hour, your people being led by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for the giftings and calling for each individual, Father God, in this room. Doesn't matter their age, how young, how old, their background, where they came from, where they are right now. I thank you for this anointing and those giftings that come through the Holy Spirit, Father God, being released in your people in this day and this hour, afresh and anew. Lord, so we thank you for a fresh touch of your Holy Spirit, Father. We thank you for a fresh revelation of your goodness, Lord. We thank you, Father, for a fresh hope arising in your people, Lord, in this day and this hour. Lord, we thank you for the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Lord, we thank you for the joy of the Lord, Father God, stirring hearts, Father, leading us through difficult times, leading even us through things right now, your joy, Father, directing our life. Lord, we thank you for that joy. We thank you for that strength. We thank you for that peace. Lord, we thank you for the grace of God, Father God, that delivers and sets us free and gives us strength. Oh, Lord, we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for that, God. Lord, we draw from your presence. Lord, we draw from your spirit. We thank you even tomorrow, Father. Even as we wake up, we thank you for the goodness of God, Lord. Your mercies are new every morning, Father God. We thank you for your mercies even for tomorrow morning, Lord, as we walk with you, as we bless you, as we worship you, as we honor you, as we're strengthened by you, Lord. Lord, as we think of those five porticoes, Father God, that represent all those wonderful things of blessing and peace in our lives, Father God. All those things, Lord, that those things represented, Father, in our lives. Lord, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, it says that represented strength. We thank you for strength. Lord, that said it represented alertness, Father. Thank you for alertness in our lives. Lord, that represented grace. It represented ministry. It represented service, gospel, fruitfulness, going forth, fast movement, anointing, prayers, and protection. So, Lord, for this, we thank you for your protection over our families, over our children, our wives, our husbands, moms, dads, nephews, nieces. We thank you, Lord, for protecting them by your grace and by your love. Lord, those who in their homes that are in difficult situations, we pray that you, Lord, would give wisdom. Wisdom, Father, what to say. How to pray. Father God, give them wisdom to stand up for your truth, your gospel, and love and in peace. Father, I thank you that even in difficult circumstances, Lord, that you're with us, that you're making a way, even in difficult home circumstances. We thank you for that today, Lord. We thank you for the supernatural strength of your Holy Spirit. And we pray that tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen.